You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Are y'all excited to be in God's house this morning? Y'all sound good. I love it. I love it. I love it when we all sing as a church. It sounds so good. It sounds so good. Well, my name is Damon. My wife, her name is Taisha, and we are the lead pastors of City Place Church, and it's our honor to have you here on this Sunday morning. We just believe that this season is going to be a year where we break barriers in our life. And this morning, we had a room full of people praying and creating an atmosphere for what God's going to do, not over the next 21 days, but also over the course of this year. And so we started a new series last week entitled Uphill Habits. And so today, you're going to get part two. You're going to get part two. Normally, I go all the way back and I like re-preach week number one. But you can download that on our podcast site on iTunes, City Place Church Audio Podcast. I want to just kind of jump right in. I will go back to come forward just to kind of get you caught up. But I want to make sure that we start this January with not just something that's going to motivate us, but something that's going to change us. And so on your seat, there's a resource there. It's sermon notes, okay? It's sermon notes. Normally, I trust you that you're going to take your own notes. On the back of the worship guide, there's a place to take notes. But I felt like as we were starting this year that I wanted us to be able to go deep on Sunday morning in this first month, and then you can go home and study it out. And then on the back of that is a short devotional for this week, so that as we're praying, you can pray scripture and study scripture all at the same time. If you're like me, and even though I'm a pastor, I am a wanderer mentally when it comes to prayer. So I'm like, God, I'm going to give you 3 hours today, and let's get this started. And so I get out there and I start praying, and about 5 minutes in, I'm like, you know what? I should probably go and check to see if the Redskins made the playoffs. Even though they didn't, but something on the inside of me tells me, did they fire their coach? Because they should have. And this is what's going through my mind while I'm praying. I should maybe pray for the Redskins, but no, now their losing record over the last 25 years has caused me to be distracted. Does that happen to anybody else? Where you're like fire on the first, and you're like, God, I thank you. God, you are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. And then you're like, you know what? I think I left the iron on. And then you're praying, but you're like, I think I left the iron on. But I know I brought an iron that would turn itself off, but I still should go back and check. And so you're praying, and then the whole time you're thinking, I left the iron on. The resource that you have there will allow you to pray scripture as you pray. We just want to equip you. And so if I can, I want you to let your guard down a little bit for what God can do. We were telling everyone in prayer this morning that my wife and I, we feel like this year is different. Not in the, you know, I've been in church for a long time. I'm sure some of you may have. If this is your first church experience, welcome home. We're glad to have you here today. We try not to do anything religious. We all about relationship with God. But every time I go into a new year, I've got my own kind of thoughts. I've got my own things that I want to do. I've got things that I want to chase. And sometimes I just need God to lead me and guide me. Like I don't just want to say something in the year. I really want to see something done in the year. Anybody else? And I feel like this year can be a supernatural year. You know what supernatural is? That's when God taps what you think you can do in the natural, and he just puts his hand on you, and he kind of just pushes you. And then you're like, I didn't think I could do that. Exactly. That's because he did it for you. Are you with me? And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn me to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to read it from the Message Bible, but I want you to highlight it. And then I also want to let you know, as you're finding it, is that we have an opportunity as a church, and we'll celebrate this. We'll turn three at the end of February, and we'll cast vision, and we'll dive into who we're going to be this year and moving forward. The church that we see, not just year basis, but future. So I'm telling you, we're gonna go big when we celebrate. But this year, we're believing that it's going to be a year of breaking barriers.
Last year, we got asked, because one of the things that we asked God for was influence in our city as a two-year-old church. And we were asked out of the blue to sit on the Paramore Council of Engagement downtown. For the Paramore community, as UCF is moving in, hundreds of millions of dollars are being in, all sorts of businesses. It's going to be an art district downtown, but they want to keep their heritage. So they asked little old City Place Church, young little young toddlers, to come in and be a part of the influential group. So one thing that I've learned from my pastor is you sit in the room when you're invited. You just sit in the room. And you're asked to sit in the chair. So we just went and we just sat. We haven't said anything, literally. And when I sat in the room, there are CEOs of major companies. There are government officials from downtown. There are major deans and all sorts of things from UCF and Valencia sitting in the room. And then there's just City Place Church. And then there's Reverend Spoonie from Mount Zion, who's been in the city for 35 years. He's doing all the talking. I ain't saying nothing because I was just invited into the room. But this last time we were there, they did ask your boy to pray. And they said, what church do you go to? City Place Church. But I say all that to say this. They invited us to be a part of their second annual MLK Day of Service. And I'm just giving you the information at the same time they gave it to us. Okay, so next Monday, the 21st, they've invited City Place Church to be a part of serving their community. Here's what's really cool. And I didn't know this until Ms. Curry said this, who's a part of ACE School. Last year, we gathered 43 bags of trash by the school. Like, 43 bags, right? But they found a young girl and her family living in the bushes on the same day we were serving. And she said that she said, if we wouldn't have done the day, we wouldn't have found them. And all I could think about when I was sitting around the table is, Damon, we're here to say nothing, but there's a need right in front of us. So if we can pastor a city, we can make a great impact. And so if you want to be a part of serving, here's what we're going to do. The church has a phone. All I want you to do is just type and text ready to serve to the number you see on the screen. Okay? You can do it this week or you can do it next week. And we're just going to go down and serve. It starts at 9 o'clock. And normally it's done by between 11 and 12. And we do whatever they ask us to do. Okay? So we're sitting on this council and God's given us favor, but we're just going there to do whatever they ask us. Are you with me? So God's opening up doors. And so I'm just going to present to you everything that's being done in the community that we're being asked to do. We're going to do our part. Are you with me? Amen? All right. So now let's jump in into our series. Last week, we kicked off our series, and I leaned over to Jared, and I was like, my iPad, because I love preaching from technology, died. And if you're a pastor, one of the things that you fear is losing your notes, your iPad, your Bible, because then you're like, I really got to know what I'm going to say. But thank the Lord, there was a ram in the bush because I brought my computer. So just bear with me because I don't like preaching from my computer, but I feel like if you amen like you normally do, we'll get somewhere. Is that all right? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Good, I feel at home already. We said last week that we are what we repeatedly do. The series that we kicked off last week was entitled Uphill Habits. And we said we are what we repeatedly do. Who you are right now is what you have repeatedly done. We all have New Year's resolutions. We all have goals that we want to accomplish. We all have things that we want to chase. But as I declared to you earlier, this year is going to be totally different. But right now, as you're sitting in City Place Church, you are what you have repeatedly done. Here's the other thing that we said. And like I said, I'll give you a little bit, just a little taste to make you want to go back last week, and then we'll propel into this week. We said that we form habits, but eventually habits form us. I'm praying, and God, I got 3 hours. And then about 5 minutes in, my habit is, let me go check the iron. So I get distracted when I pray, and that's normally how it gets started. But there's some things that are a part of our life that has become a weight. Some things have become things that we haven't been able to shake because we have become what we have repeatedly done. So we start off trying to form habits, and then eventually habits trying to form us. That's the reason why this year I'm challenging us to set aside New Year's resolutions and let's create uphill habits. See, I said this again last week, and I'm just repeating myself. Anything worthwhile is going to be uphill. Anything that's of value is going to be uphill. Anything that is beyond your reach is going to be uphill. It's going to take time, it's going to take work, and it's going to take sacrifice. It is not just going to come to you because you and I pray, because you and I say God is able, because you and I are waiting on God. It's not going to happen that way. Anything that's worthwhile is uphill. See, you and I, we all have uphill hopes, but downhill habits. Uphill hopes, downhill habits. And the reason why is because a lot of times the thing that we try to form forms us. And I gave one, just a couple of keys last week, things that I believed could help shape us and give us the habits that we need. And so here's the first habit that we talked about last week that kind of lays the foundation for going into next week. We said that we have to focus on what we do first. We have to focus on what we do first. There has to be a priority in our life, and that first thing has to begin with God. And honestly, and I'm gonna say it again. It has to begin with God first. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, he was already there. Exodus chapter 20, God says, you shall have no other God before me. Please put me first. Here's the question, and I posed this to the church last week. I said this, and it's a question, a statement, however you want to view it, is if God isn't first, then the argument could be made that he's not running with us at all. If God isn't first, is he really with you? Because in my mind, I tell him when he's first. Y'all with me? Say amen. I mean, even now, I was praying this week for you, and I felt like the Lord said, Damon, there are people who will hear this, get excited, and still choose to keep me where I am. And he said, they're going to pray, they're going to speak my word, and I will always be second. I wrote it in my phone. And I was like, oh, no, Lord, please. You and I will hear the message today. And here are the things. This happens to me. I can check out when a pastor says that one phrase or that first thing or deals with that one issue that I don't want to put God first. See, I put God first in my money. That's normally where we cut him off in church. Don't you dare tell me I need to be tithing. We cut him off, at which time he goes, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I can shut him off when I feel anger or offense, and he tells me to love that crazy person. And you know what I do? I go, I got this. They done me wrong. How dare they? And you know what he does? He goes, okay. Go ahead. You know what? I can have church at home all by myself. I don't need to go into a physical building. Okay. See, we put parameters on ourselves and we say, he's first in my life. Oh, I love him. Oh, I give him everything. No, we don't. I was praying for you this week because we are declaring at City Place Church that this is a year of breakthrough. Breaking barriers. But it is going to cost us everything. It's a scary thing. We own nothing. We don't, but we believe we do. The reason why is because he's made us leaders. He's empowered us. He's equipped us. But the change happens when I think I'm in control versus allowing him to be in control. He hasn't created us to be robots. He's created us to be in relationship with him. He's the CEO. I get to oversee his reign, his property, his rule. What would happen if we made him first in everything? Every single thing. It's worth it. You and I have already tried everything else. We've tried not serving. We've tried not going to church. We've tried not tithing. We've tried not praying. We've tried not giving him all of us. We're here because what we've done repeatedly. I'm not saying we're not on a spiritual high. I'm not trying to beat anybody down. What I'm telling you is, even if you feel like you're at the catapult of all of your relationship, there's still more. I can honestly tell you that with all boldness. There's still more. And just when you think that you've reached it, there's still more. The Bible says this, it says, you and I will never know the height and the depth of how much he loves you. Can you measure that? When you fail and you want to throw in the towel, you cannot imagine the height and the depth of how much he loves you. But if I give him everything, if I give him my hurt and my sin, then really, I can become how he sees me. That's week number one, y'all. I'm sorry. I told y'all I wasn't going to do that. Y'all saying amen too much. But I don't want us to miss it. You're sitting in a church that has potential, yes, but a burden as well. Potential is one thing. Burden is another. What will we do with the burden? What if we give him everything? So we said, put God first. Let's give God the first of everything. 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 Trust him. What's the worst that could happen? I go back to leading my life anyway? Just a thought. Right? I mean, some of us, we've gotten ourselves here. What if we just changed it? There's a bumper sticker that says, Jesus is my co-pilot. Why don't we let him drive? You know, all right, that's old school right there. My mom would appreciate that one. My mom would, you better say it, son. That's what she would have said. Here's the third thing we said about really capitalizing on that habit of focusing on what I do first is, if we put God first, if we give God the first of everything, you can expect God to bless the rest. He ain't gonna leave you all by yourself. So we've been in 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we said, God, we're going to give you the first month. We're going to give you every single thing. The reason why is because you deserve it all. We've decided that we're going to give God the first of our year. I threw this out there last week. I said, what if we gave God the first of our year, the first of our month, the first of our week, and the first of our day? What would our life look like if we gave God in his house 52 weeks? What would it look like on a daily basis if we gave God the first 15 minutes of our day? We talked about giving God 5 minutes in prayer, 5 minutes in his word, 5 minutes in worship. What would it look like if we gave God everything? So we decided that we would set aside 21 days of prayer and fasting because he is first. Our church exists because it's of his grace. We will have great influence because of his grace. We will never step on this stage without being broken. We will never come into this house without being broken because of him. So here's what we realize, and the reason why we're going to pray and fast, because what I starve dies and what I feed thrives. What I starve dies and what I feed thrives. You and I have to set aside things that we crave so that the things that God sees thrives. It's going to cost you something. Some of us, as this prayer and fasting has come about, we're going to fast the easy thing because it's comfortable. I want to challenge you to push yourself. How bad do you want him? I challenged some of the team last week. I said, what are you fasting? And they told me, and I said, okay, that's good. I said, now I want you to go home and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, is that the best you can do? Is it the best you can do? Because if I can give him the best that I got, then he's going to give me the best that I got. If I limit him, well, then I'm going to be limited. Are you with me? So I'm challenging us, starve something that gets his attention. social media. Set it aside for the week. I know. Trust me, I'm more addicted to it now than I was last year. Starve something this week. Give up a meal for lunch. Give up TV for the day. But do something and say, you're going to be first today. This thing ain't going to have me. Are you with me? And if I don't get through the message, we'll just have revival service and we'll get out here about 3 o'clock. Okay, my mom appreciated that as well. Kept me in church all day. Suffering. Anybody else go to church like that when you were in church all day? Did you ever ask your parents why? Why would they make you go through such pain? Just kidding. We said this last week. We said most people have uphill hopes, downhill habits. And here's our verse. We're back to our verse after that long extended intro. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this in the Message Bible. Fix your attention on God. Can y'all read that with me? Say, fix your attention on God. Go. On God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants for you. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you. Fix your attention on God. Fix your attention on God. David said this. He says, I will look to the hills from which my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the one who created heaven and earth. He has the ability to not even be moved. David said, if I change my perspective, I'm looking upward because my uphill hopes will remove my downhill habits. Y'all, that's good right there. Sorry, I'm just preaching to myself. David even tells us that my perspective is different when I keep my eyes on him. He's not at my level. He sees from a different point of view. If I can lift my eyes to how he sees it, I realize that he won't be moved. I realize the one that I look up to created heaven and earth. The one that I am chasing is a bad dude. Are you with me? The one that you and I are chasing is the one that was there in the beginning, Jay. In the beginning, God. Your God. What? The one that you would chase to give everything to is the one that created everything. Why would I hold anything back from the originator? What? Why? Do you know? I'm just going to preach, right? There is a store called Nordstrom's. Watch. Nordstrom's is known for their customer service because you can get an item, wear it for as long as you want to. And when you feel like it's not good enough, you can return it back to the store. Because that's what they wanted to do to create the difference in a culture. Can I tell you that when God created you, he created you to where if you felt like something was missing and off, you can return back to the originator. Are you with me? The God that you serve is crazy good. You never have to wear an outfit that you feel like doesn't fit you anymore. IKEA. Thank the Lord for the $69 desk that if it gets scratched, I can roll up and I can say, I don't want this desk anymore. And they don't say, why are you bringing it back? They say, oh, say, thank you. We appreciate you bringing it back. Why? Because that's the way that they wanted the culture, to where you could feel comfortable about the thing that you're carrying. If it feels like it's too much or if it needs to be repaired, you could bring it back. Can I tell you that if you give God everything and you feel like, you know what? I just need to bring it back. You can go right back to the originator. You can ask him any sort of questions you want. It can be repaired. Can I exchange it? I don't want this right now. Can you give me something different? And the originator can do all of that for you. See, Latoya, I told you I can do the bent elbow. I was talking to her earlier when Tysha said, give a little attitude. I told her, I said, I snapped the coin quick. Don't you mess with me. I told her. I snapped the coin. Give God everything
Something's got to die. Something's got to thrive. Here's habit number two. If I got to recognize and fix my eyes on him, if I steal from David and I realize that my uphill hopes, I've got to push towards them by keeping my eyes on Jesus, keep my eyes on God. I've got to, as habit number two, you can write this down in your sermon notes, is I've got to control my thoughts. I've got to control my thoughts. I put a lot of pressure on God. I put a lot of pressure on God, but again, I also put myself in a lot of situations where the habits form me. But then I want him to do stuff. But I put myself in these positions where the habits form me. Remember what we are, what we repeatedly do? So then I'm like, God, change me. God, change me. And he's like, if you can just move one chair over, your life will be changed. So the second habit is we need to change our thoughts. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 2 says, wise thinking leads to right living. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. I looked up the word wise, not to be, because I'm a Greek scholar, which I am. That's a lie. I was trying to find a Greek word. I'm not a scholar. But no, I looked up wise, and this is what it meant. It meant acquired knowledge from experience. Acquired knowledge from experience. So the things of my past should have taught me something. Are y'all with me? The wisdom of others should have taught me something. You mean to tell me that some of the habits that I have has been determined because I'm either wise or stupid? Like, I didn't say it, Ecclesiastes did. You either sitting in a wise place or a stupid place. If there are kids in here, don't you say that. Don't you call nobody stupid. Don't you call nobody stupid. You're either wise or stupid. How many of y'all would say right now you're stupid? I'm just joking. I just wanted to see if y'all were flowing with me or not. Just wanted to see who would go there and just admit it. If you're sitting in the place of a wise person, you will be wise. If you're sitting in a stupid place, your living's going to be jacked up. So we have to control our thoughts. Here, let's go deeper. Watch. Everything, write this down. Everything begins with a thought. Everything begins with a thought. Romans 12:2 in the New Living says this. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So if I make myself available to God, what I am doing is giving him permission to change the way I think. Okay, because remember, I'm giving him, the first habit is I'm going to put God first in everything. So if I put him there, that means that my push is uphill, all right? My push is uphill. I'm saying, God, change my thought. I'm giving you permission. There's some things that you're thinking about that I need to know what you're thinking about. And the minute I ask him to tell me what he's thinking about, that's the minute he goes, now I can begin to shift your thinking. Are you with me? So Romans 12:2 says, let God change your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. So the way you're thinking right now, give God a chance to think about it for you. Are you with me? My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. It goes on to say, now, everything that I do is higher than the way you function. So even in the verse that continues on, he says, if you look upward, you'll realize that I want to take you higher. I'm thinking higher than you think. The thoughts that I'm dreaming about you are beyond what you're thinking right now. Just give me a chance to help shape that. Are you here? Here's the second thing. What we think determines how we feel. There's a verse in the Bible that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Here's a question to ask yourself. What are you thinking about yourself right now? What are you thinking about yourself right now for this year? Did y'all hear that, Holy Flesh?
Sorry, you got to make light of it. I know we all heard it.
Listen. How are you thinking about yourself right now? Have we ever paused and really thought about how we think about ourselves? Like, I mean, have we paused and really said, wait a second? How I'm thinking about me is not me. Have we ever paused and thought, could I be limiting who I really am? I mean, do we go there or do we just allow the habit to dictate our thoughts? It's just a question that I was thinking about this week is are my thoughts running my life? You know how it is. We should go for it, but fear steps in. You can't do that. That's not going to happen for you. And then I find myself here when I should be here, pushing against anything that would try to stop me from the way God sees me. Here's a verse. You can see it on the screen. Watch. Philippians 4. Paul is a brilliant writer. He says this. In verse 8, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. Look, I'm all over the place today. I want to break these down for you. Paul says this. Finally, brothers, pause. Whatever is true. Whatever is true. Pause. What lies have you been told? What has the enemy whispered to you, contrary to what God would say about you? Pause. Whatever things are true, pause. What is it that God has declared over you that the enemy has tried to silence? Paul says, whatever things are true. Now watch, then he says, whatever is noble. I looked up the word noble because I'm a Greek scholar. I went to the Webster's dictionary. I didn't even go to the Bible dictionary. And do you know what noble is? Noble is a higher class. It means prestige. It means a different level of living. And I thought, okay, wait a second. So the first thing is that he wants me to think contrary to what the world, Romans chapter 2, would try to bring me down in their immoral living. He wants me to live in a place of truth. But then he wants me to think higher than my current level. There's a verse in the New Testament that says that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart by God to show forth the praises of him. So Paul says, now, you have to think of yourself, not in a prideful way, but you have to think of yourself as a heavenly kid, royalty, a family member. I'm trying to change your thoughts. See, when God is trying to change your thought, he's like, hey, think of what's true. Think of what's noble. Think of what's right. You know between right and wrong. I don't even need to preach that one. You know. Think of what's pure. You know what's pure. And what's dirty. Y'all know it. Whatever is lovely, whatever is adorable, if anything is excellent, watch now, and can give God praise, or is something we can celebrate, think about such things. If you sit in a place of offense, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, sit in the wrong seat. Anger. If anything is lovely and adorable, lack of self-confidence, if anything is true, feeling like where you are is the highest you will ever live, if anything is noble, think on these things. Y'all all right? Let God transform your thought process, because when he's thinking about you, he's thinking uphill. He's not thinking downhill. Are you with me? Y'all, I'm not going to finish all this. Y'all okay if I don't? Write this down. Our thoughts determine our destiny. Our thoughts determine our destiny. Romans 8, 5 through 6 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Remember, we just read the first verse. Think on these things, Paul said. But those who are controlled by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there's death. You're heading in the wrong direction. You're going away from God. Nothing will thrive in your life. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there's life and peace. So let's say it like this. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a lifestyle. Sow a lifestyle, reap a destiny. Where you and I sit today, where our thoughts have brought us. Where we sit today is where our thoughts have brought us. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war against the world as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Remember, we said we're going to break barriers. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take those things captive and make them obedient to Christ. You have the power to take those thoughts and say, nah, I'm going to steal that. Not today. You have the power to take what the enemy would try to do to define you and say, not today. I know that's crazy. It's crazy that you and I could deal with something for year after year, and the Bible's like, hey, just want you to know, take this out your pocket real quick. Speak life and go, after years and years of dealing with depression, you know what? Not today. I know it seems real simple, but if the word of God is for real, let's just try it, right? What's the worst that could happen if he has everything? I grab that thought and I say, not today. Why don't you deal with Jesus? That's what the Bible says. Just wondering what would happen. So here's how we're going to master a habit. We're going to go through these fast. You ready? I'm going to give you one and then we'll finish next week. Here's the first way. Find a plan to control your thoughts. Find a plan to control. Worship team, you can come on up. Find a plan to control your thoughts. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul, spirit, joints, marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Practically speaking, let's get in God's word. Let's read the Bible. Here's two resources that I have for you. You can hop online. There's a one-year Bible that will take you through the Bible in a year. Or starting tomorrow, as a church, we pulled on our Facebook page, okay, a devotional that we can all do together. It's called Awakening. It's by Pastor Stovall Weems. And in it, he talks about prayer and fasting and having a hunger from God. You can literally go to our Facebook page right now and you can... Right now, you can sign up and you can actually take this journey with us. Okay? You can take this journey. We'll hop in it tomorrow. And what this does is it has a few minutes in the Word, a scripture, and then you can write your own thought of the day. And then after that, you can pray and begin your day. What would happen if we gave God the first 15 minutes of our day? What if we did this together? And so let's jump in the Word this week. You got a resource. If you choose to do the one-year Bible online, it will guide you through every single day. If you choose to hop into the study as a group, you can hop online and we can all take it together. But we believe that this year will be a year of breaking barriers in your life. Are you with me? Is it okay if I just stop right there? On the back of your sheet of paper, there's study for the week as well. Just kind of teaching us how to pray. Let these resources Let these resources be something that pushes us closer into the presence of God.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.